We're talking with Blaine Arthur, of course, our State Secretary of Agriculture. Blaine, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned that 2019, a challenging year for Oklahoma agriculture. In your mind, what were the key two or three things that you think maybe were your top of priorities for the year?
Priorities for the year, number one is just doing the very best job we can as a regulatory agency to handle those challenging situations. And, you know, some of those are animal health issues. Some of those are just the weather that happens here in Oklahoma and how can we interface with our customers to navigate through those. What we're really trying to focus on goal-wise, though, is a lot of focus on the Made in Oklahoma program and value-added processing here in the state of Oklahoma. We think that that's going to be very important to bring both domestic and international dollars into the state, rural economic development opportunities, and giving a chance for folks to stay in rural areas if they want to, if we can do that. Also focusing a lot on, we hear from a lot of producers that labor continues to be a very, very big challenge for them. So having lots of conversations with higher ed, with career tech, with agribusinesses about how the department can help facilitate that discussion. So wanting to always do our regulatory job, but then also looking at ag promotion opportunities so that we can grow agribusiness and the rural parts of the state.
You mentioned some of those efforts to try to stay on top of some of the regulatory things. You've got, of course, Dr. Rod Hall on your staff as our state veterinarian. He's been working a lot on animal ID and animal disease trace back. Where are we as far as within Oklahoma on some of these things we're trying to do, cooperation with Kansas and others?
So we are in the midst of a pilot program with the Kansas Department of Agriculture. That's a cattle trace program. And so we've got two readers that have been put in Oklahoma, one at the Cherokee Sale Barn and then one at OKC West over in El Reno. And what we're trying to do from, and it's truly a pilot program because we want to identify where the gaps are within that traceability system. So when we talk about animals 18 months and older, we feel like we have a really good grasp on that. And, this is a challenging issue for cattle producers, too, because they're probably our most independent group of producers that we have here in the state. But what we want to be able to do, certainly from Dr. Hall's perspective, is if we have a disease issue, the more information that we're able to access and utilize, that's a better opportunity for producers because then we can find that particular animal or that group of animals and eliminate others that are not part of that group. So it's trying to find a balance between understanding how animals move, the importance of protecting that information to the producer, but then also letting us as a regulatory agency do the job that we need to do in regards to protecting herd health.
One thing I know you spent a lot of time on in your early days as Secretary of Agriculture, you told me, was this hemp set of questions, the hemp industry, the trying to get the arms around, trying to, how do we regulate this thing? How do we make sure that farmers have a chance for success? You were indicating to me that you're moving along and trying to get an application to USDA to be eligible to then allow farmers to register with ODAF.
We are in the midst of that, and I will tell you, I would not be truthful if I said we felt like we totally had our arms around the hemp issue. It's certainly a learning process for us here in Oklahoma, and as we work with all of our other state departments of ag, nobody has all the answers to that. USDA came out with some rules this past fall that I'll say from an Oklahoma perspective, we were pretty disappointed in those rules for a variety of reasons, and certainly having communications with USDA in regards to that. But for our hemp producers that want to be in that industry, we want to make things as easy for them as we possibly can. So lots of dialogue with them, working towards getting that application submitted with USDA, and also hopefully working towards finding some opportunities for processing of the hemp here in the state of Oklahoma. I think there's a lot of value in that. We learn more about the hemp industry every day as far as which varieties are suitable for Oklahoma and which varieties are not, and it's a challenging, lots of opportunity, but lots and lots of challenges from a regulatory perspective.
I guess there's still questions to be answered, obviously.
There is no doubt, and you know, depending on the part of the state that you're in, different varieties work, different varieties don't, depending on when the planting date. I think we've seen producers have learned a lot this past year about what works and what doesn't work, and they're certainly communicating with each other about that. And so the department's goal is to kind of get them all together collectively so that we can share that information across the board and help them to be successful, because we certainly don't want anyone to have to destroy their crop. The department doesn't want to play that role at all, but we also have to follow federal guidance and the statutory guidance we have here in the state.
Finally, from your personal perspective, you and your family had the opportunity to be a part of the celebration with the Thunder, you know, kind of honoring those that were involved in the national memorial, the bombing memorial in downtown Oklahoma City. I know that obviously has to mean a lot to you and to your family.
You know, it certainly does, Ron. My mother was a USDA veterinarian, so she worked there at the Murrah Building and was lost that day. And, you know, it's been 25 years ago. And for us, those family members who were impacted and had ones that were lost, for Oklahoma City to keep remembering for that long is incredibly important to us. And I know certainly having the city jersey done with the Thunder, you've got to go through lots of hoops with the NBA and with the team. And that was very special to us that both the memorial, the NBA, and the Thunder understands the importance of that event here to us in Oklahoma City, even this many years later. And I think more importantly, allows us then to share that story with the next generation. And I think that's the big focus now. Whereas once upon a time, most people knew that story from either living here in Oklahoma or here in the United States. But we have a whole new generation that wasn't there. And I know even some of the Thunder players mentioned, you know, we have a couple Thunder players that are just barely old enough to be over 25. And so that's given them an opportunity to learn that story. And we love that the Thunder takes all those players through the memorial when they come to the team. So a very special evening, certainly for my family, but also we think for all those families who are impacted and also the survivors of the bombing as well. So kudos to the Thunder, to Oklahoma City, and to the memorial for all the work on that project.